Good morning and welcome to the worship service of Central Congregational Church in Attleboro Falls on this sixth Sunday after Pentecost and our nation's Independence Day. We will be celebrating communion this morning, so you might want to take a moment to get some bread or a cracker and something to drink if you wish to participate. Today we're joined by the chair of our Board of Deacons, Wayne Nettinay, and Dave Valerio, our musical director. Wayne, would you please call us to worship?
Certainly. I will give thanks to the Lord with my whole heart. I will recount all of your wonderful deeds. I will be glad and exult in you. I will sing praise to your name, O Most High. Come, let us worship God together. Holy God, we ask for your help, your power, your spirit, so that we may amend our lives and grow more each day into the image of Christ. We confess that our fear is what is different. We confess that it is easier to lock the doors of our community than to receive those who don't look like we look, love like we love, or vote the way we vote. We confess that we have not lived your call to share in abundant life and unconditional love. We believe that you have the power to turn us around to a more inclusive way of living. So we ask you to do that. We ask you to give us the courage to change. We ask that you give us the energy, intelligence, imagination, and love to be your people in all we say and do. We ask all this in the name of Jesus Christ, who taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
Thank you, Wayne. Just one announcement that I would like to make. Pastor Glenn will not be back again until the first Sunday in August because he is going to be preaching at other churches. And he's going to be filling in for me those four Sundays when I'm on vacation in August. I think you all know the story by now that he and Kristen are moving out of the area because of a new job prospect and to help with his aging parents as well. And so I'd like to be able to thank them with a monetary gift. They've served us very well for 7 years. I hope that we will have some kind of a special celebration, possibly the last Sunday he will be here, which is August 29th. So if you'd like to participate in that gift, we ask you to send checks to the office and just be sure to put Glenn and Kristen or Pastor Glenn or something like that on the memo line. Are there any other announcements that we need to make at this time? Please feel free to unmute yourself and speak up. Hearing no other announcements, then we are going to begin the sacrament of Holy Communion. So, Wayne, would you invite us to the table, please?
I shall. This table is open to all who confess Jesus as the Christ and seek to follow in Christ's way. Come to the sacred table, not because you must, but because you may. Come not because you are fulfilled, but because in your emptiness you stand in need of God's mercy and assurance. Come not to express an opinion, but to seek a presence and to pray for a spirit. Come to this table then, sisters and brothers, as you are. Partake and share. It is given to you and me that we might know God, that God has come to us and shared our common lot and invited us to join the people of God's new age.
We remember that on the night of betrayal and desertion, Jesus took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke the bread and gave it to his disciples and said, "This is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, Jesus took the cup after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Drink of this, all of you, and do this in remembrance of me." Let us pray. Holy Spirit, come. Bless this bread, bless this fruit of the vine. Bless all of us in our eating and drinking at your table, that our eyes may be opened and we may recognize the risen Christ in our midst, in each other, and in all for whom Christ died. Amen.
Take this bread and eat of it, for it is a reminder of the body of Christ broken for you.
And take this cup and drink of it, for it is a reminder of Christ's blood shed for you.
We thank you, God, for inviting us to this table where we have known the presence of Christ and have received all Christ's gifts. Strengthen our faith, increase our love for one another, and let us hold forth your praise in our lives through Jesus Christ, our Savior. Amen. Dave, would you like to introduce the
Yes. song? Good morning, everybody. The prelude music that started before the service was actually "Shall We Gather by the River," which is kind of becoming our theme song, I think, because we hope to gather by the river someday again soon with that whole project going on. So that's very appropriate, Wayne. The opening hymn, if you enjoyed the music, was something out of a different hymnal that we used to use, and it was called "The Care the Eagle Gives Her Young." And I thought it was very appropriate for this Independence Day. And the hymn we're going to sing, as requested by Reverend Carol, because it goes well with her sermon, is "America the Beautiful." And if you have a hymnal, it's 696 in the hymnal. Otherwise, go to the chat section, find the chat button, click on it, and Sherilyn has posted the lyrics. It's three verses. Let's all sing "America the Beautiful."
Just use
Thank you, Mr. Dave, for that. This is the time for our celebrations. First, I'd like to wish each and every one of you a happy July 4th. I don't know if we're going to be doing much barbecuing today. That seems to be what we do on Independence Day, but we'll give it our best shot. I was up visiting Sue Winship up near the New Hampshire border. She's going to be home after tomorrow, and she just wants to send you all of her love, and she's so pleased with everyone responding to her plea for a little bit of help. And so I'd like to celebrate our wonderful church family and all of your responses to help Sue recover from her radiation and chemo treatments. And I really thank you from the bottom of my heart. I also want to celebrate Rich Goss and Dennis Cloutier for doing the wiring and other things so that we are almost ready to switch to streaming when we begin our in-person worship. Thank you, Dennis, and thank you, Rich. Two people, as we heard last week, were retiring on this past Friday. Kathy Dolly retired and Scott Wade, they both retired. Do any of you have a celebration you would like to lift up? Please feel free to unmute yourself and speak out.
Carol, it goes along with what you just mentioned, but I wanted to let everybody know that the system is up and running now, ready to go. We're going to just do a little testing over the next, you know, few weeks until we get back into the church. And everything went fine. I think everybody's going to be very pleased. I know that the last time the broader group heard about numbers, the numbers were pretty high. but we came in significantly under budget, so the whole project was around $7,800, which we had originally thought it was going to be over $30,000.
Wow, that's great.
I call that a bargain, and we owe a lot of it to you and Dennis because you were able to do the wiring, which is a huge part of it. So thank you for that. You said we have a few weeks to practice. Your minister's going to need a lot longer than a few weeks, I suspect, but we'll get there. I hope we'll get there. Okay, any other celebrations?
Yes, I have one. I'm a member of the South Attleboro Lions Club, and our sister club, the South Attleboro Village Lions Club, recently dedicated a handicapped wheelchair-bound swing for anyone who's in that kind of situation at Capron Park. And it's open and free to anyone who wishes to use it. I posted it on one of the Attleboro groups this past week when I found out about it. And anyway, it's had more than 200 hits. So people who are interested in it and supporting it, and as someone who's disabled like myself, anything that can be done to make someone's life happier, who is disabled and maybe even immobile, it's a very good thing. And just wanted to announce it to everybody who maybe hadn't seen it online. I understand the Sun Chronicles are going to do a story on it. Exactly when that'll come out, I don't know, but just wanted to announce it because it's brought an awful lot of joy to people just knowing that it's there. Hopefully it'll continue to do that. Thanks.
Thank you for that, Walter. And congratulations to your group. Jackie, I think you had your, yeah.
Yes, and it was on Facebook too, Walter. I saw it on there. I'd like to thank God for Harry's car being repaired. We were without a car for a few days because he hit a pothole at Walgreens Pharmacy.
Oh, boy.
And not only that, but the place that he took it to, which was in Franklin, the Ford place, had put up that part in, so they didn't charge us. They had put it in previously, and the part was no good, so they didn't charge us for the repair.
Well, that's worth a celebration.
Yes.
Sorry to hear about your being without a car. It really does handicap us, doesn't it?
No problem, because we do have facilities. Yeah, thanks.
That's great. Thank you, Jackie, for that. Anyone else? Then hearing no other celebrations, let us turn to our concerns as a church family. We pray this morning for people who are ill and others in need of prayer. And we include in our list Rich Goss's brother, Tom, Cher, Sue Winship, Bob Bavoyan's sister, Marge, Tyler, Len at home and in hospice, and his wife, Nancy, as well. Tyson Bowles' sister, Lee, Marie. Joe Brigham's mother, Betty Brigham, is doing much better. She's out of her cast, and she is at home and doing much better. We are also asking for prayers for Jennifer, for Loretta, for AJ, the Bishop Fian hockey player. And we're very sad to announce that Julie Goss's brother-in-law, for whom we have been praying quite a while, Bert, did pass away this past week. And our thoughts and prayers are certainly with his family and with Julie and Rich as well. For those people who are in the nursing homes, we remember Jackie Glass, Carolyn Farrell, Doris Brunel, and Ed and Janet Dyer are now both back home for the immediate future. We pray that it all goes well. And of course, we continue to pray for an end to this pandemic. We pray for anyone who suffers from an addiction. We pray for the well-being of our nation on this Independence Day, and we pray for our communities. So please join with me in a prayer for all who are in special need of God's grace this morning. Let us pray. Gracious and loving God, on this Independence Day, we freely say that we are thankful for our immigrant ancestors who came here across an ocean that seems so wide and from other lands far away, for their years of struggle against obstacles that we have never had to face, for the sacrifices of others who built our country and defended it against all things that could possibly go wrong, for opportunities in our own lifetimes to do something that would really make a difference, for a place in which to raise a family, to seek to do well in our jobs, to worship you in freedom, and to cherish the hopes and dreams for the years ahead. For all of that, we are deeply thankful. You call us to be a nation and to do even better, to be completely inclusive, to fight for mercy and justice for all people. Lord, we thank you for the days and times that you have given to us, and we thank you today for the divine spark that resides within each of us, the spark that cries out for authentic fellowship with you, that something within that keeps pulling and pushing us toward the mark of the higher calling that is in our Lord Jesus Christ, our Savior. For it is in and through Christ that we seek to ascend to be witnesses to his resurrecting power. It is in that spirit of Christ that we pray for one another and ask your healing power upon those whose names we have mentioned this morning, as well as those we now lift into your presence during this time of silence. We pray for a fresh anointing because we want to be doers of the word. We pray that the Spirit of the living God would fall fresh on us so that we can grow into the church that we are supposed to be. Take our heads, take our hearts, take our minds and our souls and use them in accordance with your will for your world. It is in the name of that same Jesus Christ that we pray. Amen.
God will take care of you through every day or all the way. He will take care of you. God will take care of you.
St. Paul traveled the known world after his conversion from a Jewish Pharisee who persecuted the early Christians to the most authoritative leader of the new Christian sect. He planted more new churches than anyone else. Now he discovers that his church in Corinth is having problems. He writes this second letter to the congregation, hoping to head off a schism within the membership. I'll be reading from 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 2 through 10. Please hear these words. I know a person in Christ who 14 years ago was caught up to the third heaven. Whether in the body or out of the body, I do not know. God knows. And I know that such a person, whether in the body or out of the body, I do not know, God knows, was caught up into paradise and heard things that are not to be told, that no mortal is permitted to repeat. On behalf of such as a one, I will boast, but on my own behalf, I will not boast, except of my weaknesses. But if I wish to boast, I will not be a fool, for I will be speaking the truth. But I refrain from it, so that no one may think better of me than what is seen in me or heard from me, even considering the exceptional character of the revelation. Therefore, to keep me from being too elated, a thorn was given me in the flesh, a messenger of Satan to torment me, to keep me from being too elated. Three times I appealed to the Lord about this, that it would leave me, but he said to me, "My grace is sufficient for you, for power is made perfect in weakness. So I will boast all the more gladly of my weaknesses, so that the power of Christ may dwell in me. Therefore, I am content with weaknesses, insults, hardships, persecutions, and calamities for the sake of Christ. For whenever I am weak, then I am strong." May God help us in our understanding of these words.
Thank you, Wayne. Today, as a nation, we celebrate our 245th birthday since the signing of the Declaration of Independence in 1776. The signers of that declaration were just like Congress today. They fought over everything in order to sign that declaration. They fought over breaking away from British rule. Some wanted to remain under British rule, others did not. They fought over declaring slavery evil. Some thought it was evil, some did not. They reached a compromise and went forward boldly. Do we really appreciate how hard fought that independence was, or do we take it for granted? Do we remember that following that signing, certain things happened to those signers? King George didn't just roll over and say, "Oh, okay, good luck with your new nation." Oh, no, no. Of the 56 who signed the Declaration of Independence, 5 were captured by the British, tortured and executed. 9 others lost their lives in the war. 12 had their homes burned to the ground. And 2 lost their sons to what we now call the American Revolution. People in other parts of the world are quite amused with us and sometimes very much put off by the pride we Americans take in our country. How often have we heard people say, "We are the greatest nation on earth"? Well, we are certainly the strongest nation and probably the wealthiest. And because of that, we surely have more responsibilities than any other nation on earth. As Jesus said, "To whom much is given, much is required." Richard Shankman has written a book called "I Love Paul Revere Whether He Wrote or Not," in which he discusses some of our American legends and how closely or unclosely they resemble the facts. Shankman writes that the surprising thing about some of our famous paintings, poems, and stories that we regard as symbols of patriotism is that they were not really intended to be patriotic at all. For example, the idea that Betsy Ross made the first flag, that was conceived by her descendants, he says, to make themselves seem more important. Dr. Emmanuel Luzzi painted Washington crossing the Delaware not to inspire Americans, but to encourage the people of his native Germany to follow America's lead and revolt against their government. And Henry Wadsworth Longfellow's famous poem about Paul Revere was written during the Civil War to impress Northerners with the necessity of fighting for liberty. You and I in Massachusetts especially know the words, "One if by land and 2 if by sea, and I on the opposite shore will be ready to ride and spread the alarm through every Middlesex village and farm for the country folk to be up and to arm." Since my father rode several times as Paul Revere on Patriots Day, I like that story, and I always assumed it to be true, but who knows really? We are learning painfully that our country has many flaws, and some people will never ever accept the truth about those flaws. So perhaps some of the events out of our history have been embellished over the years, being made more exciting and dramatic with each and every retelling. But that's what happens with a lot of stories. And sometimes it happens when people talk about their faith. Each time they tell the story of their conversion, there will be more and more amazing details. Apparently, the congregation at Corinth had that very problem, according to this second letter that St. Paul wrote to that church. Some of the people there began telling others of their own mystical experiences and visions, and every time they told their stories, they embellished them to make themselves look better than they really were. And soon those people began to think pretty highly of themselves because of those experiences. And then as more and more people told better and better stories, they began to think that everyone had to have some sort of dramatic religious experience to qualify to even be a Christian. They even began to ask questions about the Apostle Paul. Paul had never really spoken of any dramatic personal experiences. So was he really someone that they should look up to? There may have even been other leaders in Corinth who claimed that because of their own experience, they were better than Paul. Well, that was going a little bit too far. And Paul wrote to the Corinthians to warn them about false apostles who were misleading the congregation. In response to questions about his leadership, Paul said this, and you just heard it. I know a person in Christ who 14 years ago was caught up to the third heaven. Now, most biblical scholars agree that Paul was actually talking about himself, about one of his own personal experiences. And in essence, he is saying that he could play the same game as the others, but he is not going to do that. His overriding concern was not for his status, but for the unity and strength of the congregation. Paul knew from experience that boasting about spiritual superiority does not build up the faith of others. It does not lead others to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ, but instead it creates hard feelings and divides the congregation. It makes people feel unworthy to call themselves a Christian, and that still goes on today. So Paul does not boast about himself. Instead, he shares his weaknesses in the hope that others will identify with him as a mere human being so that he might lead them to Jesus Christ as an equal to each and every one of them. He described his weakness like this: therefore, to keep me from being too elated, a thorn was given me in the flesh. We don't know exactly what Paul's thorn in the flesh was. Biblical scholars have not been able to discover it. There are a lot of theories. Some say it might have been a speech impediment like Moses had that made it difficult for him to preach. Others think it might have been some kind of physical problem that gave him chronic pain. Others have suggested epilepsy, malaria, or even eye disease. But whatever it was, it bothered him enough that he prayed to have it removed. And he writes 3 times, I appeal to the Lord. And then Paul made a great and wonderful discovery. He discovered that God could use his weaknesses just as well as God could use his strengths. Instead of slowing Paul down or limiting his ability to lead the early church, the thorn in his flesh saved him from spiritual pride. It kept him from boasting of his own accomplishments and boasting instead in only what God had done for him. And in turn, this thorn helped him to advance the cause of the gospel. I think Paul is teaching us that it is a really slippery slope when we boast too much, whether it be about ourselves, our church, or our nation. I believe that our nation has probably come closest to the ideal of life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness throughout history. By any standard, political freedom, economic development, per capita income, healthcare, political jailing and torture, assuring basic human rights, our side of history is vastly preferable to other systems that filled the news, whether it's communism, socialism, or more recently, radical authoritarianism across the globe, which now seems to be taking hold even here. And if there's anything more anti-democratic, I don't know what that can be. But we dare not boast because there is so much that remains to be done to live up to the ideals expressed by Adams and Jefferson. How can we say things are all right when recent events have torn back the scab of systemic racism, of Black people being profiled by the police, when people are homeless and starving in our nation, when people with physical and mental illnesses cannot receive the care they need. Oh no, we are not perfect. But Paul discovered that when he boasted, it was best to boast about what God has done and admit to his weaknesses. Can we do any less? We boast that we have earned the right to be free. I like the words that Peter Marshall wrote about freedom. He was a Presbyterian minister in the last century, and he was the longtime chaplain of the United States Senate. And he said this: may we think of freedom not as the right to do as we please, but as the opportunity to do what is right. I've always thought that America the Beautiful, which we sang today, thanks to Dave, should have been our national anthem, because at least I can sing it, almost, sort of. But I sure can't sing the Star Spangled Banner as much as I tear up every time I hear it played at a game or whenever I'm gathered with other people. But I really most like the final words of that great hymn, which we sang today. America, America, God, mend thine every flaw, confirm thy soul in self-control, in liberty, in law. Amen. Promise of Jesus Christ: peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid. The grace of Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you all for being here. Feel free to unmute yourselves and attend our virtual coffee hour.